Hey everyone, and welcome to JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk podcast. Thanks so much for checking us out today. To learn more about the show and your hosts, go to jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. That's going to have all the social media information for us, the show, and how you can support us on Patreon. Again, thanks for checking us out. Settle in. Let's go. Cue the intro.
Thank you for joining us here again on JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk, where we talk about things that we are passionate about. We are passionate about Jesus, and we are passionate about good whiskey. I am JB. I'm a pastor at a Reformed church here in Ohio, and with me is my wonderful co-host, Robert, North Carolina living Whistler. Hey, Robert.
Hey, thanks, JB. Appreciate it. Good to be here. So thank you all for joining. Just like JB said, we are on episode 5, I believe. So we are definitely rolling here. So speaking of our episodes, if you go to jbbibleandbourbon.com/social, you'll be able to see all of our social media links. You'll be able to subscribe to our podcast on any of our audio podcatchers. Let's be honest, you're here for the glory that's on the screen. So go to our YouTube Absolutely. Channel and subscribe. Join our Facebook group. Follow us on Instagram. Tonight, we have a great show here for you. And then after this, we're going to take a brief break and we're going to come back and visit with our Patreons. So go join one of our Patreon groups. We have multiple tiers. And you know, the top two tiers get you great conversations with us, in a little bit, you know, more of an intimate setting. So we're super excited that, whoa, we're super excited about that. I did. Should I stop?
Oh, boy. No.
Oh, no. My. I can
that
cut.
Means we love them.
We do love them.
We love
them.
Our Patreons.
We do love our Patreons. So go and join. There are a few spots left.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now this is the part of our show where JB surprises me with something that I don't know is coming and I have to respond to it in an appropriate manner.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I kind of alluded that you live in North Carolina. I was just bringing up some small talk about the fact that, you know, you've recently moved to North Carolina. How long ago was that you guys moved?
7 months-ish.
7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to drive all the way to North Carolina, help him move, you know, pack up the truck with him, make sure things got unpacked. That was the only way we could make sure that he was actually staying
in
Ohio.
Yeah.
No, but so you guys built a house. It was pretty nice, right?
We did. We did build a house.
Pretty fancy neighborhood, I
hear.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, with getting a house, usually, like, there's housewarming presents. I'm sure you got a couple. Yeah, as you moved in, I know you got something from your realtor.
We did.
So, my question to you, Rob, is, and I'm not asking about like presents that you personally received, but what do you think is the best housewarming present that you could get? What is the best housewarming present?
Pay off my mortgage, which no one did. I'm not judging anyone, by the way, but visit our Patreon.
New Patreon level.
New Patreon
Pay
level.
Off Rob's house.
It's, you know, it's only a one-time payment, so you'll be fine. We can break it up, but it's just do it one time. I think something personal, right? Something that really tells the person that you know them and that you want their space to reflect them. I think is a good gift, and that can be big or small, right? And that's what's good about it. I think it can be, you know, whatever you can do and whatever is going to be meaningful to that person and give them a story to tell when people come and visit their house.
That's pretty cool. That's a good housewarming present.
That's a great
but
one.
It's not the best.
Okay. What is the best?
I think that the best housewarming present is a furnace.
I saw that coming.
Yeah. So anyways, how about that, Rob?
That's going to be cut. So yeah.
Oh,
again, our dad joke quota for the,
exceeded
always. That's we always exceed one. Expectations, JB.
That's right. That's right.
So what is your first pour that you were nosing there, my friend?
Oh, yeah. So this is just an empty glass. No, I'm just kidding. So I went with, because we actually talked about it. You and I talked on the phone earlier. We talked about this. It's that Conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Double Oak. So it is 49.9% ABV. Mm-hmm. So quick math, 99.8%.
That was impressive.
It's on the label. That was the only way I could do it that quickly.
I was going to say, I'm going to have you do math later in the episode and we'll see where you stand.
Oh, yeah. See, I can do quick math. So you go like 175 plus 3,792 is 50.
Right.
Now, I wasn't right.
But it was quick.
It was quick.
It was speed.
See, I'm drinking Conviction Double Oak.
Okay. Excellent.
What do you got going on?
I am going to go with... I already popped the cork a little bit, so I'm going to go with Buffalo Trace store pick. This is a delicious bottle. I am so prepared that I forgot my glasses. So I'm going to take a quick step back and get my glass. All right, I am back.
And that's the story of how Rob was caught with no pants at the church that day.
I didn't think you had enough time to tell that story, but all right.
So you're drinking a Buffalo Trace store pick.
Yes, I am.
Looks delightful swirling in that glass of yours.
Right. So. The glass that I so expertly had ready and prepared way back there.
See, when you said glasses, I thought you meant like your reading glasses, which you don't wear because you have contacts.
I do.
So last episode we started talking about a sermon series that we did at our church called What Would Jesus On Do? And the previous episode we talked about Jesus on doing hollow worship in our lives. And so in this message series, we're kind of looking at, you know, the things in our lives that Jesus would undo, the things that, you know, doesn't make, you know, he's unhappy with us about. You know, a long time ago they started that movement, What Would Jesus Do? WWJD.
Yep.
And so what we started to look at, what would Jesus undo? And so this time around, you know, we realize that as we go through a series, there's many things in our lives that we have to undo. And so what we're looking at today is spiritual indifference. And so indifference basically just means, you know, a lack of interest or concern or sympathy. It means that, you know, honestly, sometimes, you know, like when I talked about hollow worship last time, we get a little apathetic in our worship these days.
Yeah.
So it's like nothing really moves you. You're just kind of, eh, I'm here. So, you know, the thing is, the indifference not only hurts you,
right,
but it hurts Jesus. It's hurting our creator. It's hurting our redeemer, the sustainer of the universe. And that's why Jesus wants to undo this in our life. He wants us to experience the gift of him every day. And so as we go through this series, I want you to take a deep look at these things that we're talking about, because you have a chance to undo these things because you have the gift of Jesus. You know, he has everything to give us a passionate life, a life in grace. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. You know, he is asking us today, do you like the gift of me? Do I excite you? Do I bring passion to your life? And we should be able to say yes instead of just kind of hear Jesus. So what I want to do is I want to have I want to pray for us, and then we'll dig into this message. So Heavenly Father, as we look at our spiritual apathy, our spiritual indifference, Father, as we look into your scripture, would you bring us great joy through Jesus, our Savior? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit to a joy overflowing, that we would be excited about times of worship, that we would be excited about your word? And so, Heavenly Father, wherever anybody is today as they listen, Empower them with your love. Empower them with your spirit so that they might find joy today in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, there was a generation, a very indifferent generation back in the first century church, a generation who didn't show any real interest in Jesus or his church. And, you know, and Jesus didn't like that. And in fact, Jesus wrote, had a letter written to this indifferent church, this first century church, and he gave them a wake-up call. He wrote to the church, the Laodicea church, about their spiritual indifference. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 3.
Yep. And I'm going to be reading from Revelation 3, verses 15 through 19. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you would either be hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing, not realizing you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I consoled you to buy gold from me, refined by fire, so that you may be rich. White garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of nakedness may not be seen. And salve and ointment for your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent.
Thank you, Rob. So Laodicea was a pretty powerful community, really. It had once been destroyed by a big earthquake about 35 years prior to Revelation being written and this letter going out to this church. And they rebuilt, and they were known for their lavish city. They had stadiums, they had theaters, they had public bathhouses, they had big shopping areas. It was like the hot place to be. It'd be like Las Vegas or, I don't know, some other big lavish place you can think of. And so the problem with Laodicea was their water supply. They didn't have a good water supply, and that caused a lot of problems. So they built these giant, elaborate aqueducts to bring in water from two different places, Colossa and Hierapolis. And Colossa was known for cold water, you know. And cold water has a purpose. It's soothing. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing. And Hierapolis was known for, they had hot springs. And hot water has a good purpose too, right? The hot springs were thought of as medicinal. And, you know, just think of a nice, you know, settling down in a nice, hot, soothing bath. You know, the problem was that by the time the water got to Laodicea, you know, the water from Colossae was, you know, it wasn't cold anymore. And the water coming from Hierapolis wasn't as hot anymore. And so by the time it got there, it was dirty from traveling along the aqueducts. It was tepid. It was lukewarm. And Jesus wrote to this community about the problem of spiritual indifference. And he used this metaphor of lukewarmness to really push the issue. He used the words to really highlight what he was saying the issue was. And they would have understood because they knew what that water was like coming into their city. And then Jesus says, I know your deeds. I know your indifference. And it's about as useful as lukewarm, dirty water, the lukewarm, dirty water that you have. And that's what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, I know how you're living. I know what you did this week. I know I took a look at your life and you weren't full of spiritual passion. You weren't full of passion for the kingdom of God. You were just spiritually indifferent. And he says, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. And I wish you were one way or the other because both serve a purpose.
Right.
And then being lukewarm, he's saying, you're not living in your purpose. You're neither hot or cold. And that, and to use harsh language, it disgusted him. And he really wanted to spit them out of his mouth. And he said, he was essentially saying, you're spiritually stale.
Yeah.
So.
And the translation, which you may have been getting to, so I apologize if I
stole your thunder. No, you're good. Go for it, man.
But the translation, what I read said spit. Literal translation of the word used would have been vomit.
Yes.
That was how horrible this was to Jesus. And it was a great illustration because like JB said, it's something that they're dealing with every day. And they know that feeling when they get that dirty, stale, neither hot nor cold water in their mouth, and it makes them sick.
Makes
they spit
them gag.
It, yeah, makes them gag and they spit it out, but it's really makes you want to vomit. And that's where the lukewarmness of their faith is.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
as as presented by the deeds and by their actions.
Yeah. Yeah. They were neither hot nor cold. They were just kind of and they might have still been going to temple and coming together, but
going through some motions.
Yeah, essentially going through the motions. And that's, you might have people in your church, and we're not here to judge, but there might be people in your church who are there every Sunday.
Yeah.
People who do good things for the church. They make coffee, they greet people, they usher, they pass the offering plate, but just because they are doing that Sunday morning doesn't mean that's a reflection of what's going in and on inside. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here.
And also, if they are making coffee and it's lukewarm, just vomit it up. I mean, just
right?
Let it go.
Do not make lukewarm coffee at my church.
But no, JB's right. Right. Cause, and that's where the deeds come in, right? Cause you may be showing up on Sunday, and then that's the last time that a thought of your walk with Christ enters your mind and is reflected in your life to other people.
Yeah.
So with that, JB, and something that is good at room temperature, what is your second pour?
Well, I'm glad you asked, my friend, because first of all, I recall our last episode, I didn't give the fans what they wanted.
You didn't.
And that was, I was supposed to drink out of the kitty cat.
We got the kitty cat glass. Outstanding.
My son, James, who was recently sick, he got these for me for Christmas because I thought they were the coolest thing. I just thought they were hilarious. And so I figured that I could have the perfect pour of whiskey out of this this cup. But
retiring that phrase.
Hey, you asked me to use
my cat cup. I did ask. I asked for it.
And so what I decided was I'm going to go with a Jack Daniel's single barrel rye select.
Yes.
The Big Rybowski.
Good choice. Good choice.
So I'm going to pour that on up while you tell me.
So I'm preparing myself for our feature pour a little bit. So I am, I'm having something that goes kind of against what I normally like, but I'm doing a celebrity and accelerated aged whiskey. So this is Charles Woodson bourbon.
Okay.
And this is the Michigan variety. He releases batches and they're color coded to Michigan, Green Bay and Raiders based off where he played. So he's had a long celebrated wine line, and this is actually finished in the Oak Cabernet barrels. So it is a Cabernet finished.
That is kind of leading up to our feature.
Exactly. See, I have a plan, man.
Yeah. So Rob was planning and thinking about what to do and getting Zoom set up for us. And I came home and took a nap.
Exactly. So, I work hard for you people.
And I don't.
Right.
I nap.
So,
but I'm just imitating Jesus, right? Jesus took naps.
I mean, he did take naps. But
so while the apostles were kind of all frightened on the boat and running around and doing things, trying to keep the boat afloat, Jesus was taking a nap. So I'm just taking after our Lord and Savior.
If the hard work that I do is, frightened to you, that's fine. It's fine.
So, dude, this Rybowski, I love this.
Pill. I have mine. I've not opened it yet. I'm waiting for the perfect moment.
The perfect moment is whenever you can.
I know, it and, drink and it, and it will be. Speaking of rye, this is a high rye blend or high rye mash bill, so it has a little bit of a rye on the finish. Again, it's It's celebrity whiskey. It's themed. But look,
there's a cute little paw on the bottom.
That is a cute little paw.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. But it's a $30 bourbon. It's got some nice vanilla notes. It finishes with a little bit of a rye spice. You pick up a little bit of the Cabernet. I mean, for what it is, it's not bad. I keep one in my bar, and I keep one on display just from a memorabilia perspective. So,
right. So we talked a little bit about Laodicea and their spiritual indifference. We gave a little bit of a background about, you know, the word picture that's used here in Revelation chapter 3. And so what we're going to look at is undoing our spiritual indifference. Mm. And so what we have to recognize is that there are two sources that lead us to be indifferent.
Yeah.
And so here's what Jesus says is the first source of indifference. When you look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 through 18a, it says, "You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Mm. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire, that then you will be rich." And so what Jesus is saying is, he's saying there's no such thing as self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be rich enough to buy away your spiritual indifference. You're never going to be able to work hard enough. It's all about putting your eyes on Jesus. And if you believe that you have self-sufficiency, if you believe that, then you will become indifferent.
Yeah, and the way to undo your spiritual indifference is to become dependent on Jesus, not yourself. So that scripture perfectly points out that you're comfortable. And, you know, JB and I have, you know, ministered in areas that are like this, right? Where, you know, people are comfortable. They have what they need. They need a place to go on Sunday and talk to people, but they don't necessarily need, they don't feel, rather, that they need Jesus. And that's why the illustration of the gold refined by fire, you know, the white garments to, you know, hide the shame of nakedness. It's things that are beyond what we can provide for ourselves. So it illustrates that, you know, dependence on Christ, not dependence on us.
Right. And we can think that we have everything, right? We can, you know, you can have the newest iPhone. You can have the newest, you know, best car. You can have a nice house. You can have a full bank account. You can have all of those things that give you the illusion of self-sufficiency. But we can't fool Jesus with that, because Jesus would literally say, you're just full of stuff.
Right.
You just have things. Mm-hmm. You may think you're rich, but in all actuality, you're spiritually bankrupt.
Yeah.
And that's what that level of comfort will bring us to, right? Is us thinking that we have it all together and that we don't need Jesus. And so we become spiritually bankrupt. And we can't fool Jesus no more than we can be self-sufficient, you know.
No, he sees our deeds.
Yes, he sees our deeds, and he knows our actions, and it's our actions and what's inside that's going to speak louder than just the things we say.
Right.
Go for it.
I was gonna say, it's not what we say, it's not what we promise, it's not what we post online, it's what we do, our deeds and our actions.
That is so, I like how you said what we post online, because oftentimes on Facebook, on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, what we're showing is our best life, right? The vacation pictures, the smiling selfie, you know, we post big flowery things about the people in our lives when, quite honestly, you know, things might not be going so well.
Right.
And so we put on this mask, this portrayal of being better than we are, you know, so, and that's created by our thought of self-sufficiency.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
So, so what we do, like Rob said, the way to begin to undo the spiritual indifference is by being dependent on Jesus rather than ourselves. So there's a second thing that this passage kind of points out that is our second, it's the second thing that causes indifference in our life. And it's all the distractions that we have in life. And so I'm going to read Revelation chapter 13. I'm sorry, chapter 3. My eyeballs aren't working because I'm old. And verses 18b through 19, it says, and Rob kind of alluded to this earlier, also buy white garments for me so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. And so, you know, the world distracts us from Jesus. You know, it's blinding us to the greatness of our gift of Jesus Christ. And we can't, you know, pretend otherwise. It's like we just said about social media. That is distracting us from Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to portray a better person than we are on social media. And that takes us away from our need for Jesus. And I think, Rob, you're going to see that I put something wrong in the in the outline there. But if you want to bring up the next point, I would ask you to do so since I messed up.
Sure. So point three, right, is undo your spiritual indifference by being attentive to Jesus, not the world.
Yeah. So, you know, and we think about it, Jesus told the parable about the farmer throwing some seed out, and mm-hmm. you know, and the seed started to take root and to grow. But in Mark 4:19, Jesus says, but the worries of this life, all the stuff you have to take care of, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things came in and choked the word, making it unfruitful. You know, this is, you know, this happens in a lot of our lives where we allow the things of this world to distract us from Jesus. I know I've experienced it where I have, before becoming a pastor, put my career before Jesus. You know, I wanted so desperately to have a certain job with a certain company. And what that did was that slowly pulled me away from Jesus. I stopped going to church as often. I stopped being in a small group. I stopped fellowshipping with other believers because my career meant so much more to me.
And when you weren't the point guard for the San Antonio Spurs and that dream was crushed.
I am the
no least. that wasn't it, huh?
Yeah, I'm okay. So far from being athletic. It's not even funny. so that like Rob said, that next point was we undo our spiritual indifference by looking at Jesus, looking to him and not to the world, because the world is going to pull you away with false promises. The world is going to pull you away with false fixes. I'm actually preaching on this coming up this Sunday about how the world, the opinions of this world will cause you to think that you can fix the broken things in your life by yourself, that you can fix your spiritual brokenness, that you can fully fix the problems that you have in your life, when in truth you can't. And I'm preaching on the crippled man who's by the pool at Bethsaida, who he's been crippled for 38 years, and he's just hoping that he can, by his own might, get into the pool at the time that the water starts agitating and being in the first person to the pool. And what he realizes is that he can't do it on his own. But the world, you know, the mythology behind the pool tells him, yes, you can. You can do it yourself. You can get up. You can get in the pool. when in all actuality, it's only Jesus
who
can fix those things in our life.
Mm.
So that's a preview of my sermon this coming Sunday.
All right. And I'm sure that we'll cover it at some point down the road.
We'll see.
Episode
how good it is.
148.
Right. But, you know, we have to, you know, remove ourselves from the distractions of, of the world and focus on the things of Jesus. And so you eliminate this indifference through your action, because Jesus says, I know your deeds.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I know what you are doing.
Yeah.
And so we have to do the things with the right heart that Jesus is expecting us to do, right?
Yep.
And so that means, you know, daily reading scripture.
Yep.
I preach all the time, you can't understand the will of God if you're not in the Word of God.
Mm.
And so if you find that you're indifferent, that you don't have joy, that you don't have conviction in your life, I guarantee it's because you're not opening your Bible, because there is so much joy in that scripture. There is so much conviction. There's so much passion in scripture that if you are in scripture daily, you know, you're going to get some sort of nourishment that's going to counteract that indifference.
Yep. And that you're in the Word and that you're praying.
Yes.
So in we're good with Second Chronicles. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so
see what it says.
Let's go. Second Chronicles 7:14-15. Then if my people will humble themselves and pray and search for me and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land.
Yes. Yes. And so prayer is should often be used in conjunction with scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So if we cry out to God, he is faithful and he is just to cleanse us.
Yep.
You know, and it means, you know, our actions. It also means coming to church on a regular basis. You know, I've talked to somebody recently who said, you know, they're not feeling as good. They're depressed. They're, you know, and they're not coming to church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you were designed to be in fellowship with other people.
Yep.
And if you fall away from that fellowship, yes, you are going to start to become depressed. You are going to start to feel that indifference. You know, and speaking of fellowship, I think, you know, one of the greatest things you can do is be a member of a small group.
Yep, absolutely.
And I know I've been, you know, members of several small groups throughout my Christian career, but it's always in context of those groups that I get uplifted.
Yeah.
That you know, we come together and we do those first two things we talked about. We look at scripture, we pray together, and as we're fellowshipping together, we're sharing life and the things of the world that are trying to distract us, that are bringing us indifference.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about with these other believers and they can pray for us and they can speak to their own experiences in those areas, and that can help with our spiritual indifference.
Yeah, and then ultimately you'll start a podcast with one of those people,
right? Right.
And you know, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, right. You know, you know, it comes down to a lot of Christians. They say they are Christians, but they don't look or act or attempt to be any different than the unbelieving world around them. And that's that lie of self-sufficiency. That's that lie of the distractions of the world that will temporarily make you feel good.
Right.
You know, money can make you feel good, but you know, for eternity, it means nothing. You know, the things that, you know, the pleasures of this world may feel good now and distract you now, but eventually in the context of eternity, they're not going to bring you joy. You know, the scripture tells us that as believers, we're set apart from the world. We are set apart. We should be different.
Yeah.
That the Holy, go ahead.
I was going to say, challenge you to think to yourself, what are you doing, thinking, saying, what are your actions and your deeds when you're not in church on Sunday,
right.
When you're not in a small group? Those things are great. Right. And they build you up to the point where you're, reflecting Christ in your daily walk. But the what we show to the unbeliever, what we show to those who are struggling, what we show to those that we love and care about are perfect strangers, is what's going to draw them to Christ.
Yes. So it's that Christian action that is not rooted in indifference, right? Mm-hmm. It's that action that comes from a perspective of passion for Jesus,
yep,
that you can only find by having that close, intimate relationship with him, and being in his word and praying to him, yeah, every day. And if you don't look different from the world around you, chances are indifference has a grasp on you.
Yeah. So JB, before we go to break, mm-hmm, I believe we have a sermon in a sentence.
Yeah. So to kind of summarize this idea of spiritual indifference is that Jesus wants us to undo our spiritual indifference, mm-hmm, by being dependent on him and attentive to him. So seeking him fully for everything we need in this world, and while also listening to him and following his commands.
Mm, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, y'all. So that was the first part. We're going to come back right after this short break. You know how we do, and we will review a bourbon. Hey everyone, and welcome back. We are back for our featured pour today. Thank you, JB, for that wonderful TikTok craze I'm sure that you'll be doing. So I don't have a bottle of this. I do have a sample that was lovingly packed by one of our Patreon members to send to me. So I'm super happy about that. So
thank you, Mr. Craig Myers.
Absolutely. So this one is actually, JB picked this up at the distillery from the master distiller. So I'm going to go ahead and let him show the bottle. Boom. And we have Midnight Cask. So a little bit about this one. So this is, again, Midnight Cask from High Banks Distillery in beautiful Columbus, Ohio. It is a blended whiskey that starts with the barrel proof and then is blended with a port one. It is 82 proof, a nice entry level proof, 41% ABV. Again, quick math, there is no age state, mash bill is not stated. MSRP for a much larger bottle than what JB has there, a 750 milliliter bottle is $44.99. In Ohio, I cannot get this in North Carolina as of yet, but hey, we can dare to dream. So we're going to have a little bit more on this distillery, on this master distiller in future episodes, but a little bit about this one. So High Banks Master Distiller, Adam Hines, enjoyed another dark rye that also had a port element to it, but felt it was kind of missing something. So that started him down the process of blending some different ports with his barrel proof. After about 6 months of that experimentation, he kind of landed back on the original experiment. But that was about 6 months worth of experimentation and ended on an Australian port wine. So it was supposed to be released in winter of 2018, the first batch, but there was a government shutdown, if anyone remembers. Hopefully we don't get banned from YouTube now. But anyway, the label, there was approval delay in the label. So there was a 3-month delay. It's not a spring whiskey. Adam wanted to hold that for a few months and release it in the winter of 2019. So that is a little bit more information on the Midnight Cask. And I'm going to go ahead and pour my sample here. There we go.
Yeah. So I got the pleasure of meeting Adam not too long ago at the distillery, got to chat with him. Mm-hmm. Wonderful man of God, wonderful family person. He used to work for a church here in Columbus as well. And just, I don't,
exactly recall how we got it started in distilling, but praise the Lord that he did, because this dude's palate is amazing. And you know, for I haven't had any of the you know, High Banks Distillery whiskeys on my shelf. I've tried their barrel proof one before and really liked it, but I've never had it on my shelf. And I went down to the distillery with our friend Craig and did a flight and got to go in the back and meet the master distiller Adam, and he gave us some special pours. And I said, shame on me for being an Ohio guy.
Shame.
Shame. You know, a Columbus guy, and not having any of this on my shelf, because it is so stinking good. And so this Midnight Cask, you know, I don't tend to gravitate towards, you know, 80 proof whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
I do like higher proof whiskeys, but the complexity on this whiskey for being only 82 proof is outstanding. There's a butteriness on the palate, like a buttery mouthfeel. You can definitely taste the port wine because it's actually mixed in.
Yeah.
It's not just finished in a port cask. It's actually blended in, and it gives us velvetiness to the whiskey. I'm going to take a.
Yeah. So I've not tasted this yet. So while JB takes a sip of this, the nose is really good on this. A lot of that plums, you know, dried currant. I mean, that type of fruit comes to mind.
Yeah.
Dates.
And on the palate. Yeah.
Obviously the port elements are present, but they don't overpower.
Mm-hmm. No. And then on the palate, you get a lot of that dried fruit flavor that you would expect with, you know, a port wine, and just the savoriness that kind of comes through with that dried fruit flavor. Again, the mouthfeel is very creamy, very buttery. And there's that sweetness of the bourbon really pulls through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
very sweet because of the dry fruit. Yeah, it's very sweet.
But it's a very, you know, for, like I said, for an 82 proof whiskey, there's a lot of good complexity to it.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy, like, there's a good finish.
Mm-hmm.
The nose is great. The palate is great. And there's a good finish to it. So it's really one of those ones where you can sit down and really enjoy, you know, every aspect of the pour.
And kind of going back to the history that I read on it, this is a fantastic winter drink. So the smart thing that Adam did was the barrel, you know, that barrel proof to start with, and that allows all of those complexities to shine through with the port. So it's much more of a marrying than a mixing.
Right,
it's really good.
Yeah, he nailed this one. I got to try a higher proof version of it, and it was delightful and sad at the same time, because there are no more bottles of it to be bought. So, I mean, it's a small craft distillery, and, you know, like they recently, just about a month ago, released their double oaked bourbon, and it sold out within 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, 'cause they do online ordering. So, sold out on the website in 8 minutes.
Yeah, this one could really, I mean, you could drink a bottle of this without much hesitation. I mean, it goes
so good.
So good.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it. I want some more of it.
I know. I normally have tasted the whiskey before I talk about it here. So this is a new experience. And man, it's good.
There's a floralness to it that I noticed this time around. There's an earthiness. And that might be some of the, you know, the dried fruit coming through. Mm. There's a slight earth, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, because
it balances it.
I enjoy every aspect of this. This
pool. The only aspect that I don't enjoy, and I'm very angry about, is that it's not available in North Carolina.
Yeah, They are not large enough.
I'm gonna have to drive or find a mule who could bring me some.
Are you calling me a mule?
I am.
Because that has connotations of certain words.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't appreciate that.
God, it's so good.
Yeah. So and the cool thing about this distiller is they're expanding. You know, he's talked about, you know, they've bought some space right next door to them. They're gonna, you know, increase their output. So you know, they also make tequila, they make rum, they make
gin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw vodka on there as well. Yep.
So they I said tequila. I meant vodka.
It's not
make tequila. So
You said the gin was good, right?
Oh, the gin is outstanding, and I got to try.
I need to get some of that from my bar.
Gin that was really good,
which you don't get very often,
and you won't get because the first batch is all sold out, and the second batch, a local restaurant bought their entire lot of it.
So you will get it. You're just going to that local restaurant.
Yeah, you got to go to the local restaurant.
Go there now.
A couple pours. Yes. Mm. So, but they got the entire stock of it, which I did get to try it, and it's amazing. And I had asked him, I was like, hey, when is this being released? And he said, well, that's the bad news. It's all going to this restaurant.
So if you're in Ohio and you want to check it out, obviously you can check their website and I'll tell you where it's sold. And also, you know, they're doing a lot of creative things with the restaurant and with tasting. So, you know, definitely check them out.
Yeah, the food was really good.
Yeah. Delicious. I'm a little sad we never tried it before I left. I'm blaming you.
Yeah, I do take all the blame. Good. I am a married man, so I know how to take the blame. So.
That's true. Wah, wah.
So we want to thank you for joining us today. I do want to say, if you know you are feeling that indifference in your life that we talked about earlier, that you would cry out to Jesus, that you would look to him as your hope, as your strength, turn from the ways of this world and look to him. And if you don't know him as your savior, it's as simple as saying, yes, Jesus, and asking him to come in your heart. I know that's the greatest decision I ever made. It helped me to fight depression. It helped me to fight anxiety and a lot of the things that the world was trying to pull me away from God. By focusing on Jesus, he brought so much joy to my life. And it's just a matter of saying, yes, Jesus. And if you want to know more about having a relationship with Jesus, you can contact us through jbbibleandbourbon.com. My email address is on there. Rob's email address is on there. I would be glad to even take time with you on a Zoom call to talk to you about a relationship with Jesus. Yep. So we are both available for that.
Absolutely.
And so, for all of us, I would just want to say, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you until we come back again next time here on JB Bible and Bourbon.
Mm. Absolutely, JB. And again, just to bookend this, so follow us on social media, jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. You're going to see all of our social media. You're going to see our Patreon, which we're having an event right after this. As well as our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, subscribe on all the podcatchers, rate us 5 stars. It's the only appropriate level to rate us. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you guys. Please interact with us on social media. We love you and we'll see y'all soon.